Hello and welcome to the next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. So, Graham, have you ever been to Madison Avenue?
I have. And do you know what? I've got books on my shelf about advertising, lots of them. And, one of my favourite series of all times at the time was Mad Men. Just thought that was wonderful. And yet we've got a guy who's not quite on Madison Avenue. His business is called Off Madison Avenue. So welcome, David Anderson, to the next 100 Days podcast.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me, Kevin and Graham. Really looking forward to it. Yes, I am. I forget. I think I'm 2,437 miles from Madison Ave at our home office in Tempe, Arizona. So yes, I am quite a ways away.
Yeah, are we closer? Are we closer? No, maybe not.
Yeah, you might be.
yeah. Well, that is interesting. But not seriously though. It's a brilliant name because everybody knows that you must be something to do with advertising. But tell us a little bit more about what Off Madison Avenue is.
Yeah, well, thank you again for having me on. So Off Madison Ave was born almost 27 years ago. Our anniversary is coming up October 1st. So we have been around for a while. And here's how it got started. Me and my business partner, two guys, I got fired from the agency I was working at. My business partner, Roger, was a creative director. First time I've ever been fired in my life and only time. That's why I became an entrepreneur, so I could only fire myself after that. And I could tell you the story of why I got fired over a few beers someday. It had nothing to do with my work, a lot of agency politics. But anyways, my business partner, Roger, was a creative director there. And after I got was let go, I went and met him. He heard what was going on, met him, and we both agreed that I have an empty credit card. He had an empty credit card, and let's start doing things the way that we wanted to do it. And 27 years later, we are still partners and we're still going strong. Wow. From there. And the name came from my wife and Roger and his wife sitting around, and Roger was from New York. I actually am from Arizona, grew up in New Jersey because of dad's job. Somebody said Off Broadway, and then it was like, off Madison Ave there. And what the philosophy behind it was, you can get the same level of talent outside of New York, the same quality of work at a fraction of the price, that can get the same, if not better, better prices for what you're doing, better work from there. And that hence born Off Madison Ave.
Yeah. I've been involved in businesses that have used the same philosophy about management consulting. You don't have to employ the big four. Look, we'll send you along big four people. We'll send you the people that we actually name in the proposal, not the juniors, but we'll charge rate. And it's the same thing. You don't have to be a certain firm or in a certain location to be a fantastic business.
You make the claim on your website through your headline, which, should do. I'm not sure you should start with we, but it's an interesting headline. It says, "We transform brands, shift behavior." You spelled that wrong, by the way. You haven't got a U in it. And deliver success you never dream possible. Sorry, I know you're spelling it the American way. We always it's ridiculous that you can't spell properly. We transform brands, shift behavior, and deliver success you never dreamed possible. So we transform brands. Let's start with that bit.
Yeah, we take brands, like our favorite brands to work with are challenger brands. We want to work with those brands that are the next Google, the next Hertz, the next, Avis. We're number two. We try harder is exactly the type of brands that we want to work with. They're hungry. They think differently. I was listening to a different podcast yesterday or the day before, and it was in the private jet category, and the founder CEO talked about as a different company, non-corporate company, we can do things that the big guys can't do. They get too corporate. And so we want to be that. work with companies that are like, we want to break the rules. We want to go outside the box. We don't want to think like the other guys to get attention. And so that's how we talk about transforming brands. We want to take you from whatever number you are of market share, awareness, you name the metric you want, to number one.
Excellent. And that includes sales.
Correct.
So you okay. I'm looking at your results page and there's a picture of a Barbie on there. I mean that's intriguing. I mean, there's others as well. I can't really make them out, but basically the Barbie I kind of get. Is that working? I don't know if it, is it still owned by Mattel? I don't know. I don't know.
Yes,
Yeah.
it is.
So tell
Yes.
us what did you do there?
So that was for the Arizona Office of Tourism, which we are the agency of record with, do all of their marketing throughout the US, but also internationally. Now we do have partners in other markets in that. But that is such an interesting story, Graham, that the idea came up from one of our most junior people who did social media stuff. It is the hallmark of what we believe about creativity can come from anybody. It doesn't have to be your creative team. And Jessica was literally one of the most junior people on our team. And when we were coming up with ideas, she said, "Barbie, could we do something with Barbie?" So we reached out to Mattel. Let me tell you what it
How
took.
junior was she, David? I mean, if she's still playing with Barbies, I mean, she, you know, I mean,
Well, let's start them young in Arizona.
she did graduate, I assume.
Yeah,
I
we
mean,
did. She was actually recently out of college, but yeah, I'm okay taking ideas from my kids too. That was a while ago. They were much younger then,
fair enough.
too. But Barbie, to do the photo shoots and all of the social media took three people, a stylist. It was fascinating. You can only imagine the contracting to, do something, but it was a huge success on social media. People could relate to it. They tied to it. If you flip through the site, you'll see, oh, we did photo shoots with the doll. It was almost like a person. It was just funny how it worked. But boy, did it bring off the charts recognition to Arizona and the places to work on.
It's a wonderful place, though. I mean, Arizona. Well, apart from just counting up your the votes properly, but apart from that, it's a lovely place. Yeah, and you've got some really attractive places to go and visit. Just for our non-Arizona friendly listeners, give us an idea of the types of places if they happened upon Arizona that they might want to go and see.
Here's what I love about Arizona. I live down in the valley, so my house is in Gilbert Chandler, but the valley. In the wintertime, I can drive 2 hours and be skiing. I can drive 4 hours and have incredible skiing from there. The diversity of our climate, pe most people think of Arizona as dry desert. We're riding our horses and camels every day, and we tie up our horse out front. Arizona, I think, is the fifth largest, Phoenix, I'm sorry, is the fifth largest city in the nation, fifth or sixth, somewhere around there. So we have a great business community. It's become a real foodie place for people to come. You can drive an hour and a half and be in Flagstaff, another and a, where the it, like yesterday, I think it was 118 in Phoenix. I'm out of town for your listener, so I wasn't going through that. But and you can drive to Flagstaff and be in the mid 80s probably, so you can go cool down quickly, go up further to Pine Top. Arizona, most interesting, has the most boats per capita of any state in the US because we have amazing lakes and people have boats all over the place. We have reservations, which are fascinating places to go. People also only think of the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon is beautiful, but there are so many others. Sedona is out. You'll never see the Red Rocks. You'll never see something as amazing, I firmly believe. And I've traveled 60 countries around the world. Still, Sedona blows me away every single time I go up there.
Now my youngest son went there this year, so I've seen the photographs. Amazing. But I Thank you for that, David. You went straight into I don't know, what do you call it, holiday mode or whatever, and
You can tell
but
the
that was
difference.
amazing because your skill is taking something and seeing, because if I'm Arizona, they know all this stuff, kind of,
Kind of.
but you've got to find that missing ingredient that brings a special attention to it, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because just what you said, but the behavior part of what you talked about or read off of our site there is we are big believers in, and there's books written on this, Tiny Habits. BJ Fogg, who is the author, teaches at Stanford about this. Our job is to build awareness and to induce trial. Brands are built by your experience. And many times we're not involved in that. And we've told customers, you are not ready for our services because the experience that people will have will hurt you in the long run more. So many times people come to us and go, we want you to build our brand. We want you to build our brand. We want to be Nike. We want to be whatever. And our first thing is, is your brand ready for that? Is your product or service, pick what it is, because brand building is all about the experience that you have with that. And our job is to make people aware of your goods, your product, your services, whatever you do, and induce trial to get them to come and do the first thing. Now, a lot of times that means a behavioral change. What's the trigger? What's the one thing that will make somebody change from, I'm just going to pick something random. The brand of detergent they use to wash their clothes, their mom used it, they used it, they bought. What's the trigger that's going to get them to do something different? Is it how it's made? Is it environmentally? What's the triggers which each person? But then once they try it, restaurants are perfect examples. We could drive tourism. Arizona has, like I said, is a foodie place. If they go to that restaurant and they don't have an amazing experience, that's going to hurt their brand. And they're probably going to get on social media and talk about the bad service, which is usually it, less than the food sometimes. It's the food was great, but the shitty service wasn't worth it. So
Yeah.
does that make sense? You see what I'm saying?
It's a bit like if you want people to move away from a particular detergent brand, just say that Kamala Harris uses it. I mean, that would work like a dream, wouldn't it? I mean, it's probably untrue, but no, I mean, no,
You
maybe
keep drag
not.
you're trying to drag me into politics here, Graham. I'm not going to do
But
it. I feel my arm getting pulled that way.
you told us that you worked in the White House, so I mean, that makes you special anyway.
Yeah, many moons ago, but yes, Kevin, time to take a question from you so he starts abusing me on the politics side, okay? Just
Let's
kidding.
go to a different brand in that case, David. I spotted something that I'd have regarded as a household name for many, many, many years, mentioned on your website, WD-40. But what were you doing with a nice oily brand like WD-40?
Yeah, it's a great company based here. As I said before, I'm in California this week. They're based here. It's just a company that has been around forever and ever, and they are a consistent brand, and they have a lot of other products that go with it that people aren't necessarily aware with. But what a great example of a brand that has maintained the brand identity and what they do throughout the ages of going, and it's a great company to work with. It's a fantastic company to work with. Very focused. They know what they, want to do, willing to try new things for sure. But what a great brand.
They're not likely. Well, question. It, over here we have a brilliant car brand called Jaguar, and effectively recently they were on. Well, I don't know. I read somewhere that 97% drop in their sales. I mean, ridiculous. As a result of a particular advertising campaign that was, well, let's just generously call it badly thought through. But the thing is, how much of a risk are you prepared to try and at least push for? I mean, it's got to be accepted with a brand to change its fortunes. Because if it goes badly, like people at Jaguar have found, there's lots of risks there. So, I mean, what is it that you have to try and change their fortunes? So, how risky are you going to be to do that?
Well, that's a great question. And there's a lot of brands, especially this day and age, when you do look at the political climate, look at Tesla, what it's gone through with their brand value and, stuff that they're going on right now. You have Budweiser, Bud Light here in the US that ran and lost tons of market share and is still not recovered, I don't believe, fully from that. So there's a difference. I'm going to be blunt and say there's a difference between being risky and being stupid, and you just have to find that line there. And I would say in some cases, people don't understand their customers enough to what risk really is. Jaguar, which is a great brand. Do you really know who your customers are? And risk is, are you taking the appropriate risk based on who your customers are? And sometimes brands feel like, oh, well, we need to conform, we need to make send a message, we need to do be politically correct or whatever. And that can get you in a lot of trouble if you don't understand who your customers are, your brand, going to moving forward.
Does it would a failure not only hit the brand, but would it hit off Madison Avenue as well?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, not to the extent that the awareness level of a brand like Jaguar, but of course, oh, that's the agency that did that for such and such. That's the agency that did that for such and such. It absolutely can backfire on you. There's like irreverent versus, again, just stupid is something you have to really watch for. And I will tell you, agencies, I'll talk about my own industry. We will, because we think it's really cool and it's pushing the envelope and it'll get us notoriety and we'll, that can backfire on you big time. And you just have to be really conscious of it, of what to do.
Do you sometimes find that the commissioning person in the brand or the team presumably but the main person who they kind of look to make a decision, if they're stupid, is it your right or your duty almost to help them become less stupid?
100%. 100%. I firmly believe that our role is to help, like I said before, help companies thrive going forward. And that means our first job is to be counselors to them and look at their business exactly how we would look at our business. And that's, my role as, a founder, CEO, and I'm not super involved day to day anymore. Is to keep an eye on that, where creative people, and they're awesome, I love them to death, will go off to do the work just because it's really cool and get them notoriety and, oh, we can win this award or that award. I hope my team's not listening, but I don't really care too much about awards. I want to know what you're looking at on our website with the results that we get for our customers, and I'm much happier getting results than getting a trophy.
Yeah, I agree with that. Kevin?
Absolutely, absolutely. And as a Jaguar owner, former Jaguar owner, I can actually empathize with something that you said earlier, David, all about that experience. And if you have a bad experience, it will turn you away from a brand completely. And I vowed after the last one of those cars that I owned, I'd never buy another one. Because of the so you don't get if you don't get some fundamentals right, any amount of branding in the world is not going to do you any good.
It's exactly right. And Kevin, not only the bad experience you had, but if a close friend has the same thing, it may not keep you from ever doing it, but their influence on you is significant enough that it may make you think really hard about doing it and do more research than you would have done as a previous buyer. So you have to look at at not only your consumer, but the consumer sphere of influence around them that helps them make decisions. And in this day and age, social media, I'm not a big fan of social media. I do LinkedIn and, but the social media influence, you have to be aware of that. So.
I had one myself, but it was many years ago, and it was a new type of Jaguar called the X-Type, and it was a lovely car, and I spec'd it to the hilt because I could. I was working for a corporate, and it was the one car that apparently broke their policy. They moved away from paying for it to, I don't know, you had to pay whatever. It was a different sort of scheme then. I had a friend who said that it's just a posh Mondeo. And I just I he keeps he's got to be 30 years later now, and he keeps saying it. So it's I had a posh Mondeo, which was an X-Type Jaguar, but I loved it. It was an absolutely lovely car, and actually I had a great experience with Jaguar. I really did.
Well,
And so
I
I
did
was
as well.
very sad to see what had happened, and
I think
but
it's a
that was.
car, Graham, and it's the more recent ones that have got the build quality.
I maybe and I think the advertising is such a. I've always been fascinated with advertising, and you've been lucky to work in that field, David, for what, 27 years?
Yep, I have been. I
Oh,
have been in.
plus the years before somebody decided to send you on your way.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Plus that time there. So yeah, it boy, but how had has evolved over that time too. It's just, and what we're going through right now with AI is I'm reliving early 2000s all over again with the internet coming in and totally remaking it, how we did marketing to what is happening right now.
Yeah, I worked with a guy called Flint McLaughlin, and he back in the day when it was in the 90s, and websites were coming out, he wanted to be the first person to say, "Why do people say yes?" Now, effectively, that's an advertising issue, but basically, it's a conversion issue. So why do people say yes to the offers or whatever else you've got on a website? And I've just been in a meeting, literally, that butted up to this, and people were saying, "Well, how many websites that small and medium sized businesses have? How many do you think work?" And I actually said, "Well, how many?" I think he said it. How many don't work? And if you're listening to this, take a guess. And the answer was 95% don't work. So, you have to say to yourself, "Whoa, what's going on there?" But if it's it, is that part? Are you a campaign business, or do you also help people with their websites?
Yeah, we do both. The only thing that I would say, Graham, I fundamentally agree with what you said, but you also have to define a little bit of what work means, because a lot of websites are just validation. Oh, I heard of this company. I'm going to go there. Are they for real? Who are the people there? Like the page most people go to is about us. They want to know, oh, who is this? What have they done? And then they'll go out and they'll start going to the LinkedIn pages. Oh, look at the experience of this person. Look at this. They'll look at their products or services like on our page. Nobody's going to go to our, no one. I've never had in 27 years somebody go to our website and go, I'm going to hire you. I don't need to talk to you. I don't need to know anything else. So you have to really dig into what works. Now, way back when going to, I don't know when your friend was in marketing, there was a saying Bill Birnbach had that 50% of my marketing budget is wasted. I just don't know which 50%.
That's
Though
right.
the days today are quite different because the tracking you can do, the conversion rates, the number of eyeballs, whatever you do around it can be a lot more sophisticated to do there. But it's also really hard to track. Somebody hears something, they've seen it, they went to it, and then 3 months later, they de decide to buy. So that's where I talk about our awareness building is so important.
Yeah, I mean, you do some great. What I liked about the campaigns that you were showing on your results page was the fact that they were viral worthy almost. I don't know what the right word is, but basically that you could tell that the next thing that happened in the story before you seeing it was then it went crazy. And I think that's the kind of image that I'm sure you can click on it and it'll tell you a story. But the point being is that you're seeing a snapshot of a Barbie, and you just know that that would have been, viral worthy. It would have been attractive to a lot of people, but you just don't know what that story was at that moment. And I think that's the glam. That's somewhere near the essence of advertising. You've got an image. And you maybe got a headline, etc., but the story that's going to follow, you've been dragged into it from the image and the headline. It's worth reading because you've really, the first two things, they've got you in. Is that advertising? Is that really the
100%
essence of it?
100% agree that my job is to pique your curiosity and then storytell from there. You used all the keywords. You don't need me on this here today. You hit all the right things. It's pique curiosity. I'm going to click on the next story. Or hey, with the Barbie thing, it was a whole series of things. We want people anticipation. Where's Barbie going to be a week from today when you do the next post? That's it. But it's pique curiosity and induced trial and telling the story when you're there. When you walk into a restaurant, you tell a story from the minute the person walks up to the desk looking for the table. It's, is there somebody there? Or do I have to stand there and wait 5 minutes before a hostess comes? When I give my reservation, is the table ready? Or I'm sorry, we're running behind. You're going to have to wait 15 minutes. Man, it freak! I'm in my old age so impatient. So, but brands have to realize that you tell a story from the minute of the interaction with them, and you got to have your story down. Does the my wife and I were at a dinner just 2 nights ago, 3 nights ago, and she was sitting there, and she didn't get a place setting utensils, which was not that big of a deal. So she just asked the waiter, and everybody else had a white napkin. He noticed that she had a black skirt on and brought her a black napkin. Now, what the story does that tell you about customer service, that this place is paying attention there? They want me to not to have a great experience. And she right away was like, oh, that's awesome that it's black. So does that make sense? And how that little moment, that moment of her interaction with that restaurant, I'll give them a plug out, Nick's, here in Del Mar, California. She'll remember that for a long time.
And she should do, but what actually happened is he went into the back. There's no white ones. There's these grubby black ones. I'll just take one of them and make it sound like it's a good idea. But no, I'm only kidding.
Whatever works, it worked.
Well, I if I mean, we have a terrible London mayor. I mean, I kick him out tomorrow. He's hopeless. He's horrible and a really nasty piece of work. But London itself has real potential. I think it's gone down. You might not know that we've lost something like 16,000 millionaires in the last, few years, couple of years. They've gone, and they're probably a lot of them not going to come back. So basically, London is the, shall we say, the headquarters of our country. And London got rid of the mayor, got in a great guy. The great guy turns to you and says, "Yeah, I saw that Barbie campaign. Where on earth do you start to create, to make London great again?"
Well, here's what, and sometimes the challenge with politics is great brands come from a visionary. Phil Knight at Nike, the guys who started Google, Sergey, and why I'm blanking on the other name right now, I have no idea. But somebody needs to be the visionary of any great brand. And those visionaries can evolve. London, again, here he goes again, Kevin, trying to get me into politics about
No, I was trying not
the
to.
mayor. But London does be great, and there's a lot of brands that are going through. Look, Starbucks is a perfect example of Starbucks is an amazing brand, and then was not doing well. Hit their peak. They brought the new visionary in from Chipotle, I think it was. And I just got a notice yesterday that Starbucks is on the buy, was just ranked the buy of the stock again, because he's taken the company to the next level of vision. Nike has gone up and down, Phil Knight left, then they hit. So every organization has to have a great visionary, whether that's a founder, CEO, board of directors, whatever it is. Otherwise, they just flounder.
And if it's got the opposite, no, all right. Basically, I won't go down that route. But the I was hoping you're going to say, okay, well, what we need then is not Barbie, but I was going to say Ken, but that would have been hopeless. You'd have to know a little bit about London politics, but basically not Ken. But maybe Superman, a sort of a figurine that, Superman's going to turn up at Buckingham Palace, and Superman's going to turn up at Tower Bridge or something, and effectively, I don't know. Create images in the minds of people from around the world. And I know this. I have a colleague who comes from India, and she was just itching to go to London. And we had a business meeting down there, and it was like, oh, all the dreams have come true. And I think that's the kind of thing that I perceive that London needs. It needs some transformation, and quickly as well. But I think it'd need a you to do that.
Well, I'd be happy to do it if London will take us to do it. But it's a complicated. London's a perfect example in my mind because it is such a diverse place. I mean, that it's there's just the population makeup of London is that. But if I were to ask you, either of you, what would be your vision for London? Make London great again. Stealing a line, really, actually Ronald Reagan's line, and then used again by the current administration. But that's where we need to start, is what's that visionary look? And also, here's the thing too. So many leaders try to please everybody, and especially in politics. You got to decide who you want to be and move forward. And for those that it's not right for, don't use the brand. Don't live in the brand. Go find what's going to appeal to the customer base that you feel is the most appropriate. And this is no different than any brand. London trying to please current administration, a certain aspect of the population. Is it the right one or the wrong one? That's what needs to be decided.
And there you are, Graham. We've already followed that one. We both live up north. We've
Well,
abandoned the
it was the 30th anniversary of 7/7 the other day, and the day before, on the train that I was going into my office, same train, same time, same station. Had been there the day after, I'd have been probably caught up in that. So that was
That is weird, Graham, because I was in London on 7/7 as well. I was staying on Edgware Road at the Hilton Metropole, which is across the road from Edgware Road Tube Station, which is where part of it all kicked off. Unfortunately, that particular day, I was going to run a course just off Oxford Street. Instead of going to the tube station, I'd got on a bus.
Well, good idea. I mean, the day before, I was in the building that was above the station where it went. So oddly, sorry, that's a
We
slight
digress.
aside,
We
but
digress.
the point is, we maybe that's the point. We all have stories of London. We all have, and actually capturing those really good positive stories. They weren't positive stories; they were something else. But the point is, I think there is a lot of. I think that's maybe what somebody should be starting to capture, the stories, the positive stories, because I think there's way too many negative stories coming out of our capital city. But I'm trying to give you a really tough gig here. I mean, it might be easier just to sell Arizona. I mean,
Arizona is a great place to sell, but don't think we don't have our fair share of political issues that also constantly need to be navigated also, that you do. And there's really that's the world we live in right now, is that every city, every legislator, every tourism office is dealing with this. They don't know what the next headline's going to be and how do we respond. And you got to be ready for it, to go for it. I love your idea of though of telling the stories that people love and remember. Because again, a lot of our brand preference, our brand, the brands we buy are based on memories and moments that we have.
Absolutely.
Positive outcomes, like that. Well, me and my family have been coming to the city. I am just north of San Diego. This is our 25th year of coming here because it is just a great little town that we can, what that the brand of this town is what keeps us coming back. So it's very much like a London issue. What is it?
Yeah, interesting. When you look at 27 years in advertising, your firm's advertising, which has been your, I was going to say favorite, you can't really say that, but which has been the brand that you've really, really enjoyed because something about it, you remember something about it was great. What is that brand and give us an idea of what makes it so in your brain.
Yeah, that there's a lot. And to anybody that might be listening, that's been a client of, we've worked with a lot of great brands. I will tell you the one that resonates with us is the Arizona Office of Tourism. We've worked with them for, I think, 15, 16 years now. And Graham, you gave me an opportunity. Thank you for that early on. Is there are so many brand perceptions about Arizona that people just don't realize what an amazing state this is and the vast variety of things you can do. When I tell people, yeah, I could drive 2.5 hours and be skiing, they're like, no way. What do you drive to Utah? I didn't know Colorado was that close. And we love brands where people go, didn't know that. And Arizona is definitely a brand that has the ability to range, appeal to such a broad range of people. That's great. We've also done stuff for Nike, which it's very small part, very, very small part. But that was fascinating. Like, I remember the first time I went to the Nike campus, I was like, holy Toledo. I see why this brand is, what it is. But you mentioned WD-40 before. Awesome brand. Almost everybody knows what that is. So to be able to do something with a brand that is recognized like that is just, fantastic. But we also, they're not a client anymore. Like, and even when our team brought in, it was a car wash. I was like, what are we doing a car wash? There was two or three of them. Well, by the time we got done working with them, I think they were over 30 different locations and they were bought by a private equity firm. So it's those little moments too on things like that that you can have just an amazing, you can take something. It's a perfect example of taking something that was like, why are we doing this, whatever, and help them build a brand that the owners were ultimately able to have an exit to a PE firm, which quickly then got rid of us because that's what every PE firm does. They go through, I believe they go, oh man, if any of your listeners are them, I'm going to hurt us, but they go through the check run list and they go, why are these people getting such a big check? Which we get big checks because of the media that we do. When you're buying the media and passing through. So it's this misconception that, oh, we're paying this firm these huge dollars and, oh, we're going to take that in-house. So we're going to, so anyways, that's why I'm
No,
not going
now
to say
back
the
to they're
brand
now back
or
to
the PE
three.
firm.
So now they're now back to three car washes, and
Yeah,
presumably.
maybe. I don't know,
So
but
that,
maybe.
David, is an interesting thought. A lot of our listeners are in the small business world. A lot of our listeners are corporate escapees that have been in the big company and are now out on their own doing their own thing. Now, you talk about visionaries create brands, but what advice would you be giving to those sorts of people in the next 100 days to build their brands?
Yeah, that's a great question, and thank you for that. The lesson that I have learned in many ways the hard way was, if I may, I'm going to name three books that I believe all of your listeners should listen to that have helped me tremendously. The first is Marshall Goldsmith's "What Got You Here Won't Get You There." And as small business owners, which I am still, I don't know the official break, but the time is, you have to constantly evolve and change and look to the future. And so many times we as visionary founders, CEOs, spend way too much time in the business than rather on the business. And that's hard sometimes. I get it. I totally get that, budgetary, money-wise, and all of that. But it's all about the who's that you have around you. And that's a Dan Sullivan book, Who Not How. If you want to grow your business, stop worrying about how and hire the best who's that you can. Two other books as a sidebar. Well, one other book is Impact Players, which you have to hire impact players that are the people that are going to make the difference for you. And in mine and my business partner's case, early on, it meant hiring people that made more money than us. Because you have to think long term, and that's tough to do sometimes, especially when there were times that I had to go home to my wife and say, there'll be no check this week, or this month even. So who, not how, find those. And then the other is Dan Sullivan, 10X is easier than 2X. You have to position yourself long term. So in the next 100 days, to be specific to your question, Kevin, is do a deep and sometimes very difficult analysis of the team that you have around you. Are they the right who's that are going to get you to the next level? And that doesn't mean that if they're not the right who, you have to get rid of them, but you constantly have to evaluate that the people you have are in the right seats. Right people, right seats. And that sometimes is difficult. Listen, I've had people quit because we had to bring somebody else in above them because they weren't the right who. Somebody who's going to get you from $500,000 in revenue to 5 million is not the same person. And the person that's going to get you from 5 million to 50 million is not the same group of people. You need the people with the experience. So again, Kevin, to summarize, next 100 days, do a deep dive analysis into the who's you have around you. And remember that what got you to the point you are today won't get you to the next point without some significant evolution.
And that makes sense because when you start a business, you've got a very small team initially, and it's everybody mucking in. And while you do half the task you do them because they need doing, not because they're necessarily in your skill set.
100%. The biggest mistake I've made, Kevin, is that I kept the wrong person in the wrong seat for too long. And again, you do that because out of loyalty, they helped get you here and that. But if you really want to get to where you want to go, again, it's not getting rid of them always. Sometimes it is. It's you got to bring in the different person to help get you to that next point. I just went through this in the last year that our GM just was great, got us to a certain point, but couldn't get us to the next level. And I had to go hire a president and bring. And unfortunately, that person ultimately decided to leave because of that. But that's just how it is. And can I say one more thing, Graham? Here's a big mistake we all make. Those people that started us, we just automatically promote them to the next position as our organizations grow. And so we just assume that they have the skill set to do the next level. And many times they don't, and so we have to be so careful of that, that it's so easy. It is so easy to say, Joe, tomorrow you are going from the sales manager to the VP of sales, because we don't have to go out and recruit. We don't have to interview. We don't have to go through all of that. Stop doing that today.
That was a lesson I came across way back early in career when working for big corporate. That we did joke and say that everybody in this organization ultimately gets promoted to the level of their incompetence.
I love it.
Yeah, and on that really happy note, it's time to draw this episode to a close. And so, David Anderson, I'd like to thank you for being a wonderful guest on the next 100 Days Co podcast.
Well, Graham, I thoroughly enjoyed that conversation. And, for all we talked about brand, the one thing that's come over to me, we talk sometimes about multiple things coming up and sending you the same message. It's that one about the initial experience. You can do all the advertising in the world that lures somebody in, or marketing that lures somebody in. It's what happens in that initial experience is so important.
No, I agree. And a brand, arguably is really just the sum of the experiences that you've had with it. And if you've had a negative first one, you're probably not going to have a second or third. So I and it's all a question of interpretation, as we found out from David's wife and the black napkin and so forth. Lovely idea. We made a wee bit of fun of it, but nonetheless, a nice idea.
Yeah, that I take this a bit further, Graham, because there's a out in the marketplace, there's a load of people going out and saying, I'll generate you some leads.
Yeah, I know that.
And then there's a great big conversation that goes on about how do you convert leads into sales? And then there's a great big sigh of relief. Oh, we've done that, therefore we've got the leads, we've converted them. Bang, that's the end of the story. No, it's not.
No,
That's
no.
the beginning of the story.
Well, it's it. Yeah. It, well, it's not the end, and it's certainly not the beginning. But I it's really difficult to get new customers, so don't underestimate that part. But yeah, once you've got the customer,
The
then
downside
there's a lot
easier to
more to
retain an existing customer than it is to get a new one.
Yeah, I mean, and you it's you know if you do a Jaguar and you completely hack off your constituency, then that's criminal. It's really criminal, because you're not thinking about the brand, the car, the customers who experience that brand. You're thinking about something else, and I think that is criminal. However, let's finish on that high point. Today I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.